Islam. It's Rational Response Squad. About to hit you in your motherfucking face.
It's like they keep telling lies, why they keep telling lies? Jesus never existed and he's ripping off you guys. You'll read the Jesus puzzle and the faith, the incredible shrieking son of man. The testament's a scam like that phony ass Koran. Yet they chew around like bands, like that whack ass Benny Hinn, Billy Graham, Kurt Penn. They some sick and twisted men. Why they lying to the people, trying to turn them all to sheep? The Bible's simply cruel, all of Nietzsche's shit is deep. With a rational response, we critique the evidence. In 2006, religion has no relevance. Just a sick and twisted dance, trying to take the pain from death. Osama selling virgins, what the fuck do Christians get? An ascetic came to earth just to make you feel like shit. Well, you can't die for me, no, you can't die for me. You'll burn me like a witch, go ahead and cry for me. Cry for me. Yo. And this goes out to Rook Sapien, Scientific Mike. Nothing but free thoughts transmitting through the night. Evolution is the record for the evidence we fight. Richard Dawkins, Robert Price, trying to set the record right. On the mic, flow precise, anti-gospel, anti-Christ, anti-and culture twice. Fuck right-wingers, archetypes. Just a bunch of wicked lies, selling war, selling spies. School of liberties are disguised, why they checking out our lives? Why they can download this track, Patriots Invasion app. We're just trying to fight back, rational and that's a fact. Why they keep telling lies when religion's a disguise to take the pain from death and to govern all the people? I'm asking you the questions in the Inquisition sequel. Most rational people look beyond the good and evil. Most rational people, we look beyond the good and evil. My name is Proclaim once again. Chilling out. The Rational Responders, Mike Rook and Sapien, doing big things. Be on the lookout for the upcoming album, Question Everything. You can find it at ProcleanCreations.com. Once again, this is the Rational Response Squad, bringing it to you live and direct.
Join us right now in the chat room at www.rationalresponders.com. If you are listening to our live stream, join us in the chat room at www.rationalresponders.com.
Welcome to another episode of the Rational Response Squad. I am Brian Sapient.
I am Rook Hoggins.
I'm Kelly M78.
I'm Mike.
And I'm Razor.
And I'm Lulu Pucci.
And we are
the Rational Response Squad.
That's right, Lou Rapucci on the line with us again. You guys remember him? Crazy,
yeah.
Ignorant, or Lying?
Of course
we
do.
A little game show we play around here from time to time. And for those who haven't been around long enough to know what Crazy, Ignorant, or Lying is all about, Lou, why don't you give us a background?
Absolutely. This game started in one of the chat rooms that I'm a member of. And basically what it is the game where I give three contestants. All three of the contestants are theists, and all three of them have some sort of flaw in their theism. They are either crazy, which would mean that they fully understand the context of their religion and the history of it, and how it does not actually jive with reasonable thought, but believe it anyway. Or they are ignorant, which would be true believers, that, you know, diehards that don't really understand their own faith or where it comes from. Or they are lying. They are using their complete knowledge of their faith to exploit other people.
All right, and for those of you who want to play along at home, go ahead and get your paper and pencils out right now. And Lou will give us... What's that?
I want to go over the score total here right now. I think Brian and I are tied at 2 apiece.
I think you guys
We've won 2 apiece?
Yeah.
No, I think you're tied at 1 apiece. I have 1, and then I'm tied with you, I think, on 1. I think that's how it went,
I know I've won 2 of them.
All right. Well, I don't really think it matters that much, because
game.
I got a feeling that Kelly's just going to start to excel well past our analytical abilities on this game. So if you want to play along at home, Lou will give you today's contestants, and you'll have to determine whether they are crazy, ignorant, or lying. And although this might be hard, because oftentimes these people are all three, crazy, ignorant, and lying, that is the hardest part of the game, is to determine which one specifically Lou is looking for. And Lou, if I remember correctly, the way that you play is you have to determine if they're crazy, ignorant, or lying as it pertains directly to their faith, correct?
Exactly.
Okay. All right. So go ahead and give us today's contestants.
All right. Today's three contestants on Crazy, Ignorant, or Lying are, first off, Senator Barack Obama, going to be running for the presidency fairly soon, Democratic front runner. Contestant number two is Warren Jeffs, the head of the fundamentalist branch of LDS that's set up in Colorado City. He was also on just captured. He was on America's 10 Most Wanted. And number three, a little blast from the past, Pope Innocent the Eighth, one of my favorite popes.
Alrighty. Pope Innocent the Eighth.
Anything but.
Yes.
Nothing. He's definitely not innocent.
Jeff. And who was the first one again?
Barack Obama. Barack Obama.
Alright. So as the game works, we don't get to choose. We don't get our hints now. We get to pick and then we get hints, right?
Absolutely. You guys go ahead and make your picks. And let me know when you're ready, and let me know what your picks are, and I will lead into a little bit of discussion about these three fine specimens.
So there's one for each, though.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh man, this is okay. I think this game's always hard.
I got it.
Was that Rook? Rook sounds fairly confident.
Shit.
Yeah, I'm fairly confident.
I can't determine whether or not between Barack and the Pope, which one's ignorant, which one's lying. Jeff is obviously crazy.
Yeah. I think we probably all got him as crazy.
If you don't have crazy, then I'm overruling you. He's crazy.
I don't have that.
No, you don't?
I don't.
No.
Okay. All right. All right. Rook is going to lose then, so that's fine.
Okay.
Okay, let's see here. Barack is
lying.
Well,
crazy is knowing your faith and then still going along with it even though it's irrational, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I'm making a change. You're right.
Oh, ooh, yeah. Boy, you're right.
I shouldn't have said nothing. I should have just let it go.
Yes, you're right. Darn it. Darn it. Damn you.
Okay. I got a big
mouth. Thanks a lot, Jesus.
I think I got my initial guesses locked in.
I do, too.
All right. All right. Kelly, are you locked in?
Yep.
This is initial. Now, you can change based on the hints that are given to us.
Oh. Right.
So Barack, okay, well, there's a lot of us here. I don't know if we should go through them all, but, let's just do three of us, just see where we stand here. I've got Barack as lying, Jeff as ignorant, and, Pope Innocent as crazy. And, let's see here, let's alter. Kelly, what do you got?
I'm the exact same.
Okay, the exact same. Anybody else have the exact same as me? Lying, then ignorant, then crazy?
No.
No? Okay, okay. So Razor, what's yours then?
I got Barack, ignorant, Jeff, crazy and innocent lying.
And do either of you have that?
Nope. I don't.
Mike has that.
I've got Barack as crazy, the Pope as ignorant, and Jeff as lying.
All right, and that would mean that's what you have, right, Rook?
No.
No? Okay, then how does that happen? There's only like three combinations. Okay, go ahead.
Maybe I did it. Maybe I'm just not hearing the names right. I had the Pope as crazy, Obama as ignorant, and Jeff as lying. Is that what you had?
No.
No. Okay.
All right. Well,
so,
go ahead. All right,
there you go. There's more than three possible options.
Go ahead. What do we got? Right, give us a hint.
Sounds good, guys. I'm going to start with Barack Obama. Recent controversy about Senator Obama's stance on religion, and here's a quote straight out of USA Today. Americans are looking for a deeper, fuller conversation about religion in this country. They might not change their positions on certain issues, but they are willing to listen and learn from those who are willing to speak in reasonable terms. Those who know of the central and awesome place that God holds in the lives of so many, and who refuse to treat faith as simply another political issue with which to score points. So that is a direct quote from Barack Obama about the nature of the political debate in this, or the religious political debate in this country.
Okay.
All right. Moving on. Warren Jeffs. Here's a quote from Warren Jeffs, as it pertains to race. Quote, "You may see some classes of the human family that are black, uncouth, or rude and filthy, uncomely, disagreeable and low in their habits, wild and seemingly deprived of nearly all the blessings of the intelligence that is usually bestowed upon mankind. So I give you this lesson on the black race so that you can understand its full effects as far as we are able to comprehend. and that we must be aware, if we are for the prophet, the priesthood, we will come out of this world and leave off their dress, their music, their styles, their fashions, the way they think, the way, and what they do, because you can trace back and see a connection with the immoral, filthy people. So that's Mr. Warren Jeffs, a true American. And,
wow.
I don't have any direct quotes from Innocent the Eighth, but just a few highlights of his, 9-year papacy. Started in 1484 and ended in 1492. Pope Innocent, issued the Malleus Maleficarum, or Witch's Hammer, which was responsible for the torture and death of hundreds of thousands, if not millions of women the world over for centuries. He started the Crusades by insinuating that it was less evil to kill non-Christians than Christians to kill Christians. And he appointed Tomas de Torquemada as the Grand Inquisitor of Spain. Among other things, on his deathbed, was given demanded transfusions from 3 young male children who died in the process, and as well as him. So there we go. Pope Innocent VIII, Warren Jeffs, and Barack Obama. Yep. Any changes in the lineup, folks?
I personally have to hold because I'm finding that in the chat room right now, Tadanks is agreeing with me, and Tadanks is always right. So I'm going to hold.
I'm holding.
All right, so they're all going to be wrong then.
I think I'm
going
to.
Wow, that's solid.
Except for Kelly. Kelly's
standing. We set your convictions.
Yes, we are.
All right, are we ready?
I'm making a change.
Yeah. Oh, well, Mike wants to make a change. Hold on. Yeah.
I'm changing my Warren.
I'm changing
and
my
Barack.
Underwear.
So now I have Warren is crazy, Pope is ignorant, and Barack is lying.
Okay, all right, that one's wrong. Okay. Go ahead, Lou. Tell us who won.
Well, Fabian, I hate to break the news, but that last change just clinched it.
Oh no!
I
have Barack Obama as drumroll. Lying.
Oh, yeah.
He's a politician, he's a liar, and here's why. Barack Obama is asserting some middle ground that doesn't actually exist. His salad bar approach to the edicts of religion is an attempt to turn the mandates of God into suggestions that are amenable to reason. By insinuating that one can simultaneously be a mainstream theist and rational is insulting to anyone who has actually read Leviticus.
Yep.
Moreover, the concept of the religious contingent of this country would be, quote, willing to listen and learn from those who are willing to speak in reasonable terms is a twofold bald-faced lie. Faith specifically excludes rational thought and discourages listening to anyone of authority, but the authority of said faith. Go and try and tell your priest that the Jane you met at the bus stop is correct about the nature of God, and see where it gets you. So Barack Obama is lying.
Right. I think, do we all have that? Or, yeah.
Majority
had Barack is lying. So it was the other ones that screwed us up.
I was ignorant.
Yeah.
So, okay. So Warren Jeffs then is crazy.
Warren Jeffs is crazy. I think he believes everything he says. And, if that's the case, then he's got to be crazy. Look up some Warren Jeff quotes and have a ball.
Right. Okay.
And Pope Innocent VIII was ignorant. Anyone who actually believed there was witches in the world, I mean, I don't care if it's 1484. You know, at that point, we had a few thousand years of scientific rational thought. Anyone that still holds to that antiquated belief is got to be ignorant of the nature of reality in the world at large. So who was that, Mike, that got him right?
Yes, it is.
Excellent. Mike, well done.
I'm firmly in the lead now.
So everybody else has to do 3 Hail Marys tonight.
That's right.
As your penance.
3 Hail Marys tonight.
Right. Feel bad, folks out there. If you got Barack is lying, Warren Jeffs is ignorant, and Pope Innocent is crazy, which is what I got, that's what Tadanks got as well. And Tadanks is always right. So Mike is only right because Lou is actually the host of Crazy Ignorant Lion. But if Tadangst was the host, okay, then you know he's always right. Then you would have been right. So
well, that's what I had initially. But then when Rook said the thing that the definition of crazy wasn't really crazy, but was somebody who understands their belief and just follows through with it.
That's what I thought.
That's when I switched my crazy from being Warren Jeff to being Pope Innocent, because right. Warren Jeff seems like a pretty ignorant person, especially since his quote dealt mostly with race, which isn't necessarily a religious issue.
Yeah.
Whereas right, the Pope exactly. was That's completely why I changed. Right. just following through on what he thought he should do according to his religion, which tells them specifically to burn witches.
Right.
So I really yeah. think that it's a toss-up.
Well, whatever. This is what makes the game whatever. So hard. You know what? Really, all three are all three.
All I'm right. hearing yeah. here yep. is the rationalizations of losers.
No. Sapiens, absolutely. And this is my little, I love doing this, it's my little break from reason. It's completely subjective and totally up to me. All three yeah. of these individuals could easily be described as all three yeah. crazy, ignorant, and lying.
Well, thanks so much, Lou, for coming on again. Give us another segment. We got to do this again in the future, man.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Hey, absolutely. You guys let me know. And everybody out there listening, jump on to rationalresponders.com and check everybody out and participate. And go out and kick some ass, you know, shake things up. I'm so proud of you guys. And I see the kind of momentum build. You really are changing the world actively in real time.
Thanks so much, man.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys.
All right, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
Take care.
Peace. That's right. Check out rationalresponders.com. And, of course, don't forget to check out our sponsor, evolvefish.com. Evolvefish.com, home of the Evolve Fish, a rational response to the Jesus fish. They, of course, have all sorts of atheistic materials there, free thought stuff for you to pick up. They sell the Rational Response Squad t-shirt. And you can purchase products from Evolve Fish. Actually, our little Rational Response Squad store at evolvefish.com. If you scroll down the bottom left-hand side of rationalresponders.com, click the Atheist Goodies link, and you'll get directed to the Rational Response Squad arsenal at evolvefish.com, which is products that we've handpicked out that we think that you should have, that you should put on your car. There was some chatter there from Life of Apollos in the chat room while we played Crazy Ignorant or Lying. We had a
yeah, really.
We poured some. He spilled some haterade on the table. he was calling Crazy Ignorant or Lying a joke, and it was absurd. And
it is a joke. It is absurd.
Well, yeah. He actually said, "Rook was crazy. Brian's lying, and I'm ignorant."
Yes, exactly.
Oh. I don't know what that makes Mike and Razor, but that still makes you a dick.
It makes me a winner because I won the game.
Yeah. that makes you guys who hang out with Crazy Ignorant and Lying people.
Makes me gorgeous.
So anyway, also don't forget to check out doubledoe.com. Thanks so much, Double Doe, to all the I Deny the Holy Spirit t-shirts. We will wear them proudly. And you can pick up your own I Deny the Holy Spirit t-shirt at doubledoe.com. That's doubledoh.com. And just click store at the top and you'll see the Deny the Holy Spirit's the first item there.
If you can't see what these shirts, the logos on them are, it's a bull taking a crap.
Yeah,
with a circle and a line through
yeah.
it. So it's anti-bullshit. It's
saying no, yeah,
whole,
no bullshit. Yeah,
it's,
exactly.
It's awesome.
And then it says, I deny the Holy Spirit. And it says blasphemychallenge.com right on the shirt. So these are really high quality shirts too. A little more expensive than some of the other stuff out there, but these are super high quality shirts. They don't really fade and
comfy.
Cause there's like sticker. They're like stickers on the front or something. So, it's not like an iron on transfer. So definitely check that out. We'll take a brief commercial break and we'll come back with something. We'll come back. We'll be back. I promise. So.
Yep, yep.
Unless, of course, there's a rip in the space-time continuum, and then we're all screwed. Now, so.
or we get raptured in the meantime.
Sucked into the wormhole.
So we will be right back with the rapture.
When fire comes down from heaven.
We're not getting raptured, so.
Yeah, we're fine.
Maybe everybody else.
But I'm going to go out and find me a nice-ass car.
Yeah.
That's all I got to say.
But according to Revelation 13:13.
And speaking of evolvefish.com, you can get the bumper sticker there. Come the rapture. Can I have your car?
There you go.
Hi, this is Julia Sweeney. In my new play, Letting Go of God, I come out clearly as an atheist, absolutely committed to keeping church and state separate. Won't you join me and the Freedom From Religion Foundation in waking up America to the growing dangers of theocracy? Phone 1-800-335-4021. That's 1-800-335-4021. Or visit the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org. That's ffrf.org.
This is Donald Duck. You're listening to the Rational Response Squad.
Thanks for listening to the Rational Response Squad. This spot would be the perfect place for you to advertise your free thought-related business or organization. With rates as low as 2 cents per listener, we blow away the advertising competition. Furthermore, what better way to spread the word than to support an organization fighting to free humanity from the mind disease known as theism? Send a message to rationalresponsesquad@hotmail.com to learn about our rates. Again, that's rationalresponsesquad@hotmail.com. Your ad could be right here in next week's episode.
All right, and we're back. Rational Response Squad. Visit us at www.rationalresponders.com. And if you're listening on Friday night, you can check us out in our StickCam webcam room at rationalresponders.com. On the line with me now is Patrick. Patrick is a Christian. Is that correct, Patrick?
Yep.
About how old are you?
36.
Okay. And how long have you been a believer?
I've been a believer since I was about 13.
Okay. We've got you on the show because we've got a message on our website that if somebody thinks they can show us why God belief is rational, we're willing to believe. Can you help us in that category? Can you show us why God belief is rational, why we should believe in God?
Well, like I said, I was trying to give it a shot. For one, if you don't really have faith on your own, you're not going to be able to see the positive points of why God exists. You can try to search it out rationally, but to prove it scientifically is going to be difficult any which way you look at it. What I'm doing, what my points are mostly, was for one, looking at more of an environmental source, showing proof that God exists because of our planet, how we live, our environment, all of its circumstances, I believe in my own, couldn't possibly come about on just a whim or a possibility. I believe that what we're currently looking at with the planet is that it was created, or at least started, so we could all live and exist here. That was one of my points. I was looking at that. Or like I was saying earlier, if you look at the environment, it could possibly prove that God does exist. Another point would be looking at the Bible itself. You have some.
Slow down here. I think we want to touch something there, but we don't know where.
Yeah. There's so much to touch.
All right. Well, you started with faith. We can leave that alone for a moment because I think all of our users know that we don't like faith. Let's see. Moved on to proving God scientific is difficult. Would you say maybe that, because the way, when you say difficult, you almost make it sound like it's been proven scientifically, but it's just hard to do it. So would you say that it's impossible to prove God scientifically, or that it's just difficult?
Proving God is existence scientifically, it's got to be kind of tough.
Yeah, I would agree. I would say it's tough, though, in the sense that I don't think that anybody's ever actually done it. Do you think there's some way that we could approach trying to test that a God exists scientifically, and that, you know, I mean, how would one even go about that, albeit being very difficult?
Well, looking at with time, as technology increases, plus also you got people using availability to check out archaeology and trying to find out the facts and the truth, maybe after a while we might be able to find out.
Okay, so it's just an explanation that science could give us later in time. Is that correct? Like today, we can't scientifically prove God's existence, but we might be able to do it in the future. Give science some time.
Maybe in the future, yeah. I guess I could see where we could probably find more proof of existence. But if we look at some of the facts that we have now, you may be able to prove existence currently. Little bits and pieces of science shows God's existence, on my belief anyway. Others don't seem to take my views.
I was only trying to see if there was an analogy there because, of course, we believe that, you know, science offers us a lot of explanations, but a lot of times theists will say, well, but science can't answer, you know, this, or science doesn't, you know what happened before the Big Bang or something like that. You know, in reality, science can come up with answers for these questions if given a long enough timeline. So I found it interesting that you were actually a proponent of allowing science time to develop an answer, because I found that you know, if our conversations are anything like the majority of Christians, we hear that a lot, that science doesn't have the answers to such and such. So, you know, well, it's like you got to give science time, you know.
Yeah, well, it's usually more of like, well, science can't explain X, therefore God.
Right.
So
insert God here.
So, okay, we need to use faith. Well, go ahead. Keep going, because none of us are believers yet. So preach on, brother.
Okay, all right. I keep trying. I'm not willing to give up yet. You got, I'm also looking at the biblical points. Most of prophecies, in my view, that have occurred biblically have come to pass so far. One pain point would be Israel coming back into its country, you know, thousands of years after they were all exiled so much long ago. Biblically, it states that, yeah, he would put his people back in that land, and he's done that. So, I mean, some of those prophecies showing that they're, you know, even though they said that thousands of years ago, it did still occur later on. So, I mean, I guess that's to me proving his point.
What prophecy are you speaking of?
Does it say he's specifically going to put them back in the land of Israel? No, not really.
So then how do you call it a prophecy? That, to me, a prophecy is something that needs to make a specific prediction. It needs to name person, place, date, you know, specific details. It can't just be some generic, general, inkling about something. I mean, it can't be vague. It needs to be specific. So we obviously have different definitions of what a prophecy actually is.
On top of that, take into account the fact that Israel was given back to the Jews. It wasn't that they inherited back from God. It was given back by the United States and the United Nations, as a matter of fact. It was like they said, hey, look, I don't think we're like the Palestinians there anymore. We're going to kick them out and make this small little area just for the Jews. And then we'll give them tanks and weapons and stuff so they can beat everyone else up in their area. And
we are one nation under God, Rook.
So. There you go. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's true. Yeah, that's for sure.
So,
I was reading about that where the United States and Russia came together and decided to give that land back to, the Jews because of the atrocities that occurred during World War II.
Well, they hadn't had that land in a very long time. I mean, the Jews didn't have that land even before World War II. I mean, it was pretty much open up in there for anybody. I mean, ever since the Crusades, Muslims have really had that land for a very long time. I mean, we kicked the Muslims out of there basically because they were different from our beliefs and just it gave them, well, not our beliefs in the squad, but the America's and the UN's belief and, gave it back to the Jews. So, I mean, that wasn't really, yeah, that wasn't really based on anything having to do with World War II, like Jews being there before that. I mean,
well, I guess I could come up with that point. Looking at going back with that one little strip of land, even in the Old Testament, those people had migrated to that area, and then they were all disbanded from that area twice for certain different, you know, individual reasons. And then after all that long period of time, they ended it back up there for the third and final time, even though the United States and Russia said, yeah, we'll give you this land back. They still ended up in the same place.
Okay, well where are you getting your historical information from that they migrated away from that area and came back twice?
Mostly just the Old Testament.
Okay,
and
so
I also go to a...
One of the things he was talking about was the Babylonian exile.
Well, yeah, that could be true, but that's Babylonians had that area too. You know, that
right.
Was still under that. Like, they didn't really kick them out of there. It was more or less they just took them over.
Right.
You know, it's...
Yeah, there were still Jews in that area when we made it Israel.
Well, yes.
They didn't actually... It wasn't a case of like, well, all the Jews left.
Right.
And then they came back after we gave it to them.
There were plenty of Jews there already. We just made it an official Jewish state.
Exactly.
So...
Exactly.
But regardless...
They weren't really in charge of themselves, was the point.
Okay, but there really isn't.
And the Babylonian culture comes in and removes them. And then the Roman culture, comes along and moves them out sometime in, you know, I don't know the exact age, but.
No, they didn't do that. They didn't move them out. They just destroyed the city. All they did was they destroyed Jerusalem and burned it to the ground. And the Jews still inhabited that area. I mean, they spread out a little bit, but they were still there.
I can imagine.
It wasn't until the Muslims came in really and pretty much, you know, made it theirs, but the Jews were still there too. It was when the Christians came in. The Christians came in, killed everyone in Jerusalem, including Jews, and, you know, after that, they kind of, like, put colonies in there. It became a city-state of, you know, the Holy Roman Empire at the time. So, I mean, it wasn't really, you know, the Jews leaving. It was the Christians murdering all the Jews in Jerusalem, and then they started to come back afterwards, but with a tax. Like, they taxed Jews who will come into the city at a very high price. That's the only way they could pray. So, and it wasn't until, I can't think of his name right now, but until a Muslim leader actually took it over again and reconquered it, that Jews were allowed to come back in there and pray.
Was it Saracens?
No, it was, Saladin.
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 Yeah, I was just watching that, Kingdom of Heaven on, TV the other day.
That's actually almost a very accurate movie. There's some erroneous things in there, but.
Yeah, I was looking at that myself. I was like, that's kind of accurate for right on the case.
Right, and the facts.
Historically speaking, anyway.
Right. So
what is that, the the specific passage we're talking about here.
I don't think there really is a specific passage that says the Jews will be kicked out of Israel like three times, and then on the third time they come back. It's a prophecy. It's been fulfilled. I mean, there's, you know, in the writings that we have, for example, Isaiah, all right, where he's talking about, you know, the seed being left over, mm-hmm. and Jerusalem being conquered and Israel being conquered and stuff like that. I mean, it really takes place after mm-hmm. it's already happened. I mean, Isaiah was written after or during the exile. It wasn't written right. before it. So there really isn't a prophecy there. It's more like a self-fulfilled prophecy, you know, in lieu of, you know, this is how bad we were before. We can't let that happen again. It's one of those things. And that's the same thing with Daniel, same thing with Nehemiah, same thing with Ezekiel and...
Rook, regardless of the fact that prophecies may or may not take place, I want someone to give me the correlation between that and God belief. Where do you make that jump? It just doesn't seem understandable.
If most of the correlation I would make here is that if somebody said this was going to occur thousands of years ago, and then it does, that to me proves existence.
Well, no, it could just have been a lucky guess.
Right.
You know, how does the correlation there equal God is the question here.
Right. Is every magic trick a proof that God exists?
What about mistakes that are in the Bible?
He's basically making the point that violations, it's a violation of Occam's razor.
What about mistakes that occur in the Bible? I mean, wouldn't that then, if you use the argument to give proof of something, wouldn't that then prove that something doesn't exist?
I didn't see any mistakes written in the Bible. Myself.
In the Bible, it says that insects have four legs. They actually have six.
People say that there's some contradictions, but each time I try to find those contradictions and do my best to research them and find out the truth, it seems to come up straightened out with me.
All right, I'll tell you what we do, because we got to wrap this segment up. You come on our forum, write me an email, tell me what your screen name is, okay? Come on our forum and talk to us in the biblical forums that are under Rook's name on rationalresponders.com, all right?
Okay.
And you spend some time looking through those, and then and engage us in a discussion there, you know, and then we'll bring you back on the show. In a few months, we're gonna have to let you go, but let's end on that. That you'll look up those contradictions that we've laid out. We've laid them out in a forum called Biblical Errancy, and then you know, feel free to discuss it. Just discuss it in the forum. You don't even have to come back on the show. So, and I'm sorry that we have to that we have to make the segment so short. We try to have people on for at least a half hour, but 15 minutes out of you. So
that's fine.
Thank you for coming on.
No, I'm glad you guys called.
All right, man.
Take care.
Well, we'll talk to you soon, buddy.
Bye.
Thanks.
Well, sorry I had to wrap that segment up, folks. For those who don't realize, you know, the way that we record here, we pre-record everything in one day. And actually, the interview that we need to get to is going to be next week's episode with Pat Zukerin and Kevin Harris, and they are of the WordFM.com. So they are
Word.
Christian radio show hosts that do pretty much the opposite of what we do, and we're granted them the ability to come on together. We get told often that it's unfair that we have multiple people here, and so they have multiple people here. And I told him that he could even have three or four if he wanted to, and he's stuck with two. So I've got to go jump to that interview. We're actually going to finish the show here later. So people in the recording room are going to see how this works out, but. But stay tuned. We'll drop you into a commercial break, and we'll air definitely a segment with another Christian at the for the end half of this show.
So these guys are basically the Bizarro Rational Response Squad.
They are
Bizarro
the
World.
Bizarro Rational Response Squad. Exactly.
Some
exactly.
Science.
So
though,
for
isn't
those
it?
Of you who aren't watching in our live stick cam room when we record on Saturdays, you'll hear that episode next week.
This is Sam Harris, author of The End of Faith and Letter to a Christian Nation, and you are listening to the Rational Response Squad.
Bowling for Columbine did it to the gun culture. Supersize Me did it to fast food. Now the God who wasn't there does it to religion. Holding modern Christianity up to a bright spotlight, this bold and often hilarious new film asks the questions few dare to ask. Your guide through the world of Christendom is former fundamentalist Brian Fleming. Joined by such luminaries as Jesus Seminar fellow Robert Price, Professor Richard Dawkins, author Sam Harris, and historian Richard Carrier. See the movie the Los Angeles Times calls provocative, to put it mildly. Hold on to your faith. It's in for a bumpy ride. Purchase The God Who Wasn't There at www.rationalresponders.com.
All right, welcome back. This is the Rational Response Squad. I am Brian Sapient with my entire crew here. Visit us at rationalresponders.com. On the line with us now, we have Rapture Right. That's right, myspace.com/Rapture Right. Guys go by Trevor and Dylan. What is it? What are the names?
Trevor and Tim.
Yes. Yeah. Sorry. Before we get too far, I want to play a few moments of your hit song, Perfect Design. And,
that'll be fine.
If the conversation goes well enough, I'll actually plug it again, as we get through the show. I'm not going to be able to get through this whole song. So we will play.
It only requires really one plug because, the song is so good that, we feel confident if your listeners listen to 4 or 5 seconds of the song, that's enough for them to want to purchase the album.
Yeah, I might actually have to stop at 4 or 5 seconds, but we'll see here.
I'll compromise with you. We'll do 2.5.
Okay, 2.5 it is.
You say, I try to tell the other Christians the living wrong with my songs, but God, they don't listen to what I say. Show me the way to show them the way that you would show them to be saved.
I'll tell you what. Now that's great stuff. We'll get back to it.
There's no need. But go ahead. Let's continue.
Yeah. So here's my question. You know, you guys say, you know, to God that you're trying to teach other Christians that they're living wrong. I'm trying to figure out exactly what living right is.
Well, there's a lot of bad Christians out there, and I think you'll agree with us that there's a lot of dirty, bad Christians walking around, giving good Christians and great Christians a bad name by behaving filthy and dirty. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to expose them, but then at the same time, we're also trying to re-save them. They've just sort of lost sight of God's path, and it's a very bright path. It's lit up very well, but sometimes they can be blinded by the brightness of it and stray off the path. We're trying to get them back onto the bright path, and then we're also going to re-save them all over again. So it's a new birth, a rebirth through a newness.
So they'll be born again.
Yeah, it's a double born again. It doesn't cancel itself out, though. That's the thing. It's actually it just doubles itself. It's sort of like letting it ride. If you're a gambler and you just let it ride after a few wins, you know, it's just like letting it ride. That's what
it's
we're
like
trying to do.
It's a double coupon.
Okay, well, see, for the audience understands exactly why I'm asking this, okay, because you guys are very pleasant right now. You're talking about telling other Christians how they're not living right, and I'm just curious, how do you reconcile that with your first comment on our MySpace profile, December 21st at 7:20, in which you said, quote, "We can't wait to see your burning flesh at the rapture. Atheists will be burned on display for all God-fearing Christians to witness. This is the ultimate reward for years of servitude to God. Burn, atheist, burn. Happy holidays."
Yeah, well, that's
that was so pleasant at the end there.
Now, obviously, we were referring to atheists there. We were not talking about bad Christians. So, it's completely out of context. I mean, as far as the
it was only about
also, yeah, that was it, only it's about only atheists. Okay to want to see other people suffer and die in eternal flames as your reward if they're atheists. So that's
well,
okay.
You guys have chosen that for yourselves. We didn't choose that for you.
Well, okay, but what I'm saying is it's still okay for you to enjoy watching us suffer for all of eternity, and that's not a problem with your, you know, ethical code because we're atheists. So we're somehow like subhuman.
Before you answer that, I just want to comment that I love the fact that you said happy holidays instead of Merry Christmas.
Burn.
That was for you, atheist. We thought you'd appreciate
well,
that.
Thanks. We appreciate the sentiment.
And by the way, I didn't choose that. I was born that way.
You were born an atheist?
Sure.
Well, I mean,
I was born atheist.
I think we're having some problems with our phones. Hold on just a second here. Hey, Trav, will you just pray and just see if it solves itself?
Okay, well, yeah, so
we have a lot of ground to cover here, Sapien.
What is your vision for society? What would you like to see, you know? Obviously, there's Christians that aren't living right, but I clearly don't think that, you know, finding joy in somebody else's suffering is living right. But you do. So, because that's apparently the true Christian way. So I'm just trying to kind of get a better idea of what you think true Christians should be doing.
Here's how we feel. We feel that since you guys have chosen to side with Satan, we can find joy in watching you suffer because you cannot be saved. And since we are fighting a war against Satan and his demons, when we prevail, when we win one of these small little battles, we rejoice. We sing out in chorus.
Yeah. Okay, hang on just one second though. The Bible clearly says that faith is a gift from God, and that
now,
God.
What Bible are you referring to? Are you referring to which Bible?
I'm referring to, I believe, like the Bible I preferred is the New American Standard Bible.
Okay.
New Testament, but I've read lots of other versions. At any rate, the Bible.
You read the version?
Excuse me?
The version?
The what version?
The version.
The version.
What, the King James version?
No, pre King James.
No, I haven't actually read the Bible in the original Greek. Have you? Or at least the New Testament in Greek. Okay, well, congratulations. Anyway, the Bible clearly says that faith is a gift from God and that God chooses and has known since before the foundations of the earth who would be saved and who would be unsaved. So how, like, your own Bible is calling you a liar and saying that I didn't choose anything. It's up to God to either save me or not, either give
me
the gift
right there.
Or not.
And I appreciate what you're saying. I appreciate where you're coming from there. But let me stop you right there. Brian, we were not aware that there was going to be a female on the program tonight. Is that okay with you guys that she's on the phone right now?
Are you out of your fucking head?
Oh, dude, you don't even realize what you just said.
I don't know how atheists regulate their females.
The
I don't know how you do it. I know how we Christians regulate our females.
Holy shit.
Hold on, let's let that simmer. Let's let that marinate for a moment. And I'll actually call
I'm
going to bring another wait a sec, let me do it like this. I'm going to bring another Christian on the line for a moment who has
here. She makes some really good points, and I want to touch on a few of her points, although I don't want to spend a lot of time because I don't think she really deserves this. I think she's not supposed to be out right now in this hour, but
you guys are definitely a parody because there is no person on earth with a brain who would say anything that asinine.
We're going to explain that to you too. We've gotten this parody thing a lot. We've Googled that. We find out what it is now.
You didn't know what it was. Okay, I'm not worthy of an explanation, but you don't even know the word parody until you go and look it up in Google. All right.
We're going to touch on that, but let's go back to what you're saying here. Now, you were talking about, what were you talking about? I blanked out for a second because I was off.
Because you haven't obviously heard female voices very often.
Oh,
no, I didn't.
No, we haven't.
Burn.
Yeah. I would like to talk a little bit more about how I need regulation while Brian's trying to get somebody on the phone here. I'm kind of curious. What kind of regulation do you think I need?
You were talking about the Bible, and that was a perfect segue into one of the things that we were going to talk about on the show tonight, and that is some new information that we have about a couple of undiscovered books that were left out of the Bible, and they have been discovered.
All right, well, I'll tell you what, let's hold off on that, because that is obviously, you know, I mean, that's the deal breaker. And so I want to get another theist involved in the conversation, a Christian. Who apparently has?
And who is this?
He's just a gentleman in our chat room. We find it to be very pleasant, and we like him, and you know we consider him a Christian. But I don't think by your standards he would be Christian. So
what's his first name?
His name is Adam Ryan.
Brother Adam Ryan. Okay.
Hello.
Adam.
Hey, how's it going, man?
Welcome to the show, man. You are on the line with the Rational Response Squad and Rapture Right. MySpace.com/Rapture Right.
God bless you, Adam. Hey.
Hi, brother Adam. This is Tim from the Rapture Right. How are you?
Alright, I'm doing pretty good, Tim, but I think we need to talk.
Let me stop you right there, Brother Adam. You said but. Let's just back up a second.
All right.
You're doing just fine, but?
Yeah.
Well, then you're not doing just fine, are you? What's the problem?
You have something to say. Let's get it off your chest.
Are you really going to persecute me because of a conjunction I just used?
I just want to find out what's going on with you.
Well, okay, here's the problem. I've been listening to a few things you said, and you made a sexist remark towards Kelly. And
who's Kelly?
Mark.
Isn't her name? The woman who you were at?
That's her name, exactly, yes.
Oh, the right. Female. Okay, go ahead.
Alright, can you give me an example out of a scripture where Jesus ever said, hey, you're a woman, I'm not going to help you?
I can, but I don't think that's important right now.
No, it's fine.
And you want to know why I don't think that's important?
Okay, I'd love to hear it. Tell me.
Because I think we're past all that, aren't we? Aren't we past that?
Actually, I have a verse for you. It's in John 2:4 where he says, woman, what have I to do with thee? And the Greek is actually even better. It's like, what is it you have that concerns me? It's like really, it's really harsh. So
a vagina.
There you go.
Wait, hold on. All right, let me touch on that. Okay, Rook. Now, is that the only thing Jesus is saying in the entire passage? Is he saying, woman, don't talk to me? You know, you're
pretty
a body
much
with
that's
a vagina.
That's
don't
the entire well he didn't say that you're a body with a vagina, but he did say that you know, he had nothing to do with him because his mom came up to him and was like, you know, hey, people are thirsty and hungry, and he was like, you know, pretty much said in the Greek, you know, what does that concern me? You know, what are you telling me this for? Get away from me, woman. Like, it's pretty much exactly what he said, like you know, John 2:4. So I'm just going to get this back up. I'm backing you guys up. So go ahead. Go ahead.
And Adam, I'm going to get to that in just a second here. But first I want to talk. Now, how old are you?
I'm 17.
You're 17.
Oh, he's under 21.
He's under 21. If you've read any of our blogs, and it's okay that you haven't, because it's probably the first time that you know anything about the rapture right here. But if you've read any of our blogs, we don't communicate with teenagers. Okay.
Oh my God.
This is a parody. This is clearly a parody.
You have a lack of life experience. You don't know what you're talking about. You have a lot of energy, a lot of motivation, and a lot of good intentions, but you just can't put them anywhere because you're just too uneducated to do anything with all that.
Of course.
So let's wait a couple of years. Let's wait 4 years, and you call us back, and we'll answer your questions for you. But right now, you're just too young. And how many times a day do you pray, Adam?
I'm sorry?
How many times a day do you pray?
I really don't think that matters. Matthew chapter 6. Jesus.
Well, how many times a day do you brush your teeth?
Four.
4 times a day you brush your teeth and you don't pray at all?
See, praying is much like brushing your teeth.
No, it's not.
Because your soul will decay. Your soul will decay if you don't pray. So we tell our youth group members.
Oh, yeah, I totally understand. Okay, I agree with that. But it is not like brushing your teeth. Jesus.
It's exactly like brushing
that point.
Teeth.
Matthew chapter 6. We talked about how the Pharisees had this total, like, pseudo-zealous
they didn't have toothbrushes
character in them. Hold on, let me finish. You have to talk, and I'll need to talk. All right. This, religiosity got to their head because they thought they were holier than thou because they prayed so much.
Adam.
Yeah, yeah.
First of all, if you can take a couple of weeks, the next couple of weeks here, and you can start praying as many times a day as you brush your teeth, then I think I'll give you 5 or 10 minutes of listening to you go rant about whatever you're ranting about. I seriously just block teenagers out, right? You know, and I have like a filter that just as soon as they start talking, nothing gets through. So I don't even understand what you're saying. I realize like you're talking in a different language to me. But I appreciate what you're saying. That's the thing. I care about you because you're a Christian and I'm a Christian. I care about you, but you would be a bad Christian. You would be like our song, good Christian, bad Christian. You would be a bad Christian that we're referring to. People just like you.
Of course. Okay, are you done?
And you can double.
I can double double.
Or triple double. It really depends on how many times you're willing to be saved again.
Okay, your brushing your teeth to praying ratio is just way skewed, my friend.
Okay, well, I have a question for you. Okay,
you said something.
Well, I'm only going to answer one more of Adam's questions, and that's it. I've answered plenty of them. Go ahead, Adam. One more question, that's it.
Okay, so you don't talk to teenagers. You've made that point pretty clear. So my question
That's
is, would you have talked to Jesus when he was 12 years old, when he was in the temple, and he was talking to him?
Is that your only question?
No, this is a general question right now. I mean, I really don't know why you're going to cut me off right now.
I'm not cutting you off. What was your question? Something about Jesus? What was it?
Okay, yeah. Would you have talked to Jesus when he was 12 years old, when he was in the temple and his parents were looking for him?
Of course we would have. He's only 12 years old. He's not a teenager yet. Not until he's 13 is he a teenager. If he's 12, of course we'll talk with him.
Exactly. I was going to make that exact point.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, Adam. You've got to do the math, my friend. Okay. You see what I'm talking about?
Okay.
Listen, Adam, take a couple of weeks, put your toothbrush down, and get down on your knees and start praying. And let's talk. And we'll talk serious, okay?
Just go like those Catholics.
Adam says your friend on MySpace, and we'll talk with you in a couple of weeks, okay?
In a couple of weeks?
2 weeks. 2 weeks of praying four times a day and not brushing, and we'll talk with you for 5 minutes.
Yeah, you got to get your prayer to brushing ratio back.
So. You are a modern-day Pharisee. Congratulations.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so you just had a bad Christian. That's all you had?
Hey, anybody else that wants to call in, we'll let them get on the line. But, I didn't want to...
Where's Life of Apollos at?
I figured I wanted to kind of give them the opportunity. I'll play another few moments of your song, Perfect Design. We'll see where it's at right here. Hopefully it'll play for the middle.
Thanks for calling in, Adam.
Okay, so the biggest thing, and this is probably where we're going to need Rook more so than anybody, is that apparently your church does have legitimate evidence for God and Jesus Christ, and you were prepared to bring that to us today.
I'm very happy that you brought it up, because absolutely we are. There have been two recently discovered books of the Bible. That is the Book of Elevations and the Book of Nezariah.
Okay.
And our pastor, Pastor Rick, who is also our father, and what I mean is our father.
Yeah,
we were born. Our mother was a crack addict, and we were raised in foster homes and on the streets. And Pastor Rick and his wife companion Heather found us in a foster home when we were 11 years old. And they raised us up. They taught us about Christ. They taught us about the truth. And he is what is his exact title? Ordained Superior Minister of the Christ? Yeah, actually, Trevor has just discovered that you guys are on Skype, and he's thinking about doing something with the laptop here. But let's pray on that for a second, see if that works out.
Well, actually, did you get that prayer out of the way? Because I'm surprised you got this far. You told me that you couldn't start the interview until you got your prayer out of the way.
No, we wrote it down.
Okay, all right, good.
Yeah, as long as we actually write the prayer down, we can finish it that way.
Okay, all right. What do you think that does anyway? I mean, can you change an all-knowing God's plan somehow by praying?
Oh, there have been so many studies done recently, and these have been done by secular organizations and by
like the one on NBC, right? MSNBC.
About the healing power of prayer and how it absolutely does work.
Our studies show that they've failed, that prayer does not work.
Yeah, the most recent studies have shown there's absolutely no correlation.
So, I don't know, where are you getting your figures from is my question. Are you just Googling this stuff?
MSNBC, brother.
MSNBC
actually broadcast the article.
I'll be happy to provide you with a source in 30 seconds.
That's a MSNBC.
Oh my God, he's talking to me. It's amazing.
That is a very liberal organization.
I'm sure he was talking to Rook and I, actually.
very left-wing liberal organization, MSNBC, and I don't know if we can trust a lot of what they say. They're very biased.
MSNBC is very biased?
MSNBC, the New York Times, CNN. I mean, really, truly, if you want to get...
You think a better source would be maybe your father?
I think going straight to the source, going to God and praying on it, or going to Fox News, those are the only two places that I would get my information from.
Fox News.
Because that's very unbiased.
Or God himself.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, okay. All right, so, okay, we've now got Trevor back on the line, and yeah, I wanted to know about this evidence, but did you have an issue you wanted to address there?
No, we're fine. I'm praying right now. Trevor, go ahead.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes. Oh, it sounds good now.
Okay. So what was the question again?
Well, the evidence. The evidence that you guys have for God and Jesus.
The Book of Elevations.
Yeah, the Book of Elevations and Nazariah?
Nazariah.
Yeah, Nazariah.
Nazariah is considered by many scholars to be the most important yet most unknown book written for the Bible.
Okay. Rook, what do you know about the Book of Nazariah?
Well, why don't you tell me what you think about it first?
Well, it's thought that Nazariah was written between 50 AD and 100 AD by several different sources, but most notably the prophet Jeriah. The book was considered lost after the King James Bible was issued, and that's what it's like. A lot of atheists seem to be quoting the King James Bible, which is completely false.
Hang on for 1 second.
Oh, she's still here?
Yeah.
Haven't regulated
her yet.
they're regulating my volume. You said the prophet Jeriah. I didn't believe there were going to be any more prophets after Paul. So
well, that's the you didn't believe, and so
he's pre-Paul.
Believe,
or
he's
the last apostle at any rate, but. So, where does he come in? Who's this guy?
Well, wait, let me go back to what you said. You said you didn't believe there were going to be any other prophets, and that's the problem. You don't believe.
Okay.
You are atheist.
Exactly.
After reading the Bible multiple times, it didn't say anything about this Jeriah character, so I'm just asking you who he is. Could you answer the question or not?
What we're trying to explain to you, female companion.
Okay, well, I don't want to hear all of the reasons why you think I can't grasp it. I've read the Bible. Tell me where it talks about him or who this person is.
That's why it's called a lost book. It's called a lost book.
Okay, so where was it discovered at?
This was discovered right near, well, I mean, we actually, believe it or not, this was discovered during the search for weapons of mass destruction, believe it or not.
Oh, okay. So
exactly.
It was found in Iraq.
The real WMDs.
At least they found something.
Yeah, right.
Our pastor Rick was on an expedition out there.
Right near Kirkuk, somewhere either north, south, east, west. It's around there, though.
Oh, you don't really know exactly where.
It's a central direction.
So and where is the book located now?
No, the book is in the hands of the.
It's in a safe place.
It's in a safe place. It's here in the States right now.
Uh-huh.
Also, you guys have some kind of, like, secret association with this particular book.
Well, I'm sure you guys have heard of Area 51.
Yeah.
Okay, uh-huh. There's also an Area 52. And Area 52 is where... And that's fine. We understand that...
It's Bible code. 5 + 2 = 7. You do the math.
I totally need more drugs. We're going to keep talking to people.
It equals 7, but so what?
Area 52 is actually housed in...
Do your research.
In a few submarines that are at the bottom of the Great Salt Lake right now, and they're being used as a safe house, is basically for these new undiscovered books, while they're being researched by both secular scientists and by Christian scientists.
Why would scientists be looking over texts?
Faith scientists.
Faith scientists.
Well, I'm just trying to understand why scientists would be looking over texts. I don't know many marine biologists who know Greek.
Well, I don't know anything about marine biology.
But it's also kind of unusual that the submarines would be at the bottom of the Great Salt Lake, which the waters would probably be so acidic that they would just eat away at the metal and turn it into, you know, a bunch of rusted heaps within a matter of a few years. But let me guess, it's God's hand protecting the submarines because it has the secret ancient text of Nazareth.
I sense sarcasm.
Your sensors must be very perceptive.
Well, God is known to be the greatest creator of membrane, of making membranes to protect different scriptures. So a lot of scriptures that were found did have a protective membrane on them.
You'd have to explain that one to me.
We'd be more than happy to answer those questions, but let's get...
It's the Bible condom.
We're going to. But let's okay. Get back to something that Kelly said here. Kelly, first of all, Kelly, you're very sarcastic, and that's okay. I appreciate that. I know you're an atheist. You're struggling with your life. You're trying to find...
No, I'm not struggling with my life at all. What I'm struggling with is people like you coming on here and telling me that because I'm a woman, I need to be regulated or that my comments are somehow not worthy.
We were not told there was going to be a
female. Well, why didn't you look on our webpage where there's a picture of my face right at the fucking top? Hello?
We didn't notice your face.
Well, maybe because you've never seen a woman and you don't know what we look like.
You need to watch your language.
Yeah, that's just irrational. And so, response squad, come on now, Kelly.
No, it's irrational for you to expect me to be happy when somebody says that because I'm a woman that my comments are somehow unworthy of responses and that I need to be regulated by somebody who just happens to have a penis.
I didn't say they were unworthy. I just said that it would have been nice because most of our females in our congregation have to submit questions in writing before they can speak them verbally or orally. So we, and that's what we're used to. So, and you guys do things different in the secular world, and that's just fine. And we just weren't, you know, aware that you were going to be able to just talk freely like you are right now without submitting your questions in writing, at least emailing them to us.
Why did the females have to?
So we're trying to adjust. We're trying to adjust
because according to the Bible,
and we're doing a pretty good job. But Kelly's just sarcastic. She's being irrational. I mean, it could be hormones. I don't know what time of the month it is.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons everything's written.
Like, seriously flip out.
See, that's the problem right there.
You need to be regulated. She's out of control.
And that's why we believe that when women shouldn't be allowed to live out in the world, they have to have men making decisions for them because they are more prone to sin. They're receptors for sin. They're born with double or triple the sin. And they get out of hand, they get crazy, and we are praying that Hillary Clinton doesn't run, but she is, and we just pray to God that something happens to her.
You know, that would actually kind of make sense in that, you know, Eve is the reason why we all fell, you know.
She was made of a rib.
Yeah, kind of.
It's so scientific. Thank you.
Everything kind of sits on her shoulders as to why sin entered the world, you know.
She is responsible.
Yeah.
So, they give birth to man, they gave birth to sin.
Right. But I mean, you know, obviously, well, I put the God as being responsible there because God knew ahead of time that, you know, Eve would sin and he had the power to make them differently but chose not to, you know, so.
You see, is that Brian talking about you?
Yeah, 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 uh-huh.
Okay, Brian, you see what you're saying here? You're saying some really crucial things here, and mm-hmm. I really appreciate that. You're referring to God, you're talking about him, and that is showing right now that you are starting to lean a little bit over the fence here and take a look at a little bit of truth. And I like to hear that. Okay? Mm-hmm. Now, you atheists are not easy to convert. I'll tell you, it's been a real challenge for Trevor and I to convert you.
It has definitely been a challenge.
But our conversion rate so far is very, very high for atheists, especially mm-hmm. agnostics. Agnostics are easy. I mean, all you got to do is just, you know, read them a few scriptures and they can see the light because they're on the fence. They're more open, basically.
Right.
But with you atheists and your non-belief in belief, it's a little mm-hmm. bit harder for you, but you're already warming up, and that's nice.
Hey, Brian, could you mention Bigfoot real quick?
Bigfoot.
So you're starting to believe in Bigfoot?
Yeah.
Are you talking about Bigfoot?
You're leaning over in that direction.
Let me get to something interesting here. I noticed that you guys are starting a new group, FAGS. I thought I should read the comment when you talk about it. It says, one of our youth group teachers, Miss Emily Hunter, is starting a new group for her female youth group, Kids Only. She wanted us to send out a bulletin asking for your help. The group is a pro-hetero focus get together for young teenage girls who may be having urges to try the gay lifestyle. FAGS stands for Females Against Gay Sisters. It's an acronym.
Yes.
Emily says that a lot of young girls have lesbian urges, especially when they are going through the teen sexual growth stage. She's trying to curb those urges by getting the girls together and watching all male dance movies or playing pin the genitalia on the gent. She would like more suggestions on things she can do to get her girls more focused on men. Thanks for your help. My first suggestion in this is
it's really working too.
Don't you think though that calling this group the labeling the acronym FAGS FAGS is kind of
you know what that was a coincidence off? It just worked out.
It was a coincidental.
That was not intentional, but appropriate, I guess, in retrospect, because it really does it makes a lot of sense. And also, I think this is wonderful, Brian, that you brought this up, because now we have we have Kelly here, and she can attest here right away that most females are lesbians. Is that not true, Kelly?
They are prone. I've seen many women out in public.
Kelly has now taken off her headset. She's about had enough.
Females have lesbian tendencies. Hey, but look, I like.
They said you couldn't handle the heat, Kelly.
I do have lesbian tendencies, but now that I heard this, I really know that you guys are fake. So yeah. I love you. You're great, because this is the funniest thing I think I've experienced in recent history. So,
Tim,
yeah, I love
about?
You.
Well, I'm glad you won't be mad at me.
So, I have a question for
no,
you.
No, wait. This group that you started, the FAGS group.
We're going to have to remember that quote, by the way, on Kelly, that she said this was the funniest thing and she loves this, okay?
I think
how we convert.
I like the
We're
idea.
We're starting another group called Gays, by the way, and it's Gentlemen Against Youth Sex.
I don't want to help out with that one. I do want to help out with your FAGS group of, getting these,
and we get the two groups together.
Young teenage girls. I would love to help take their minds off of,
other women.
I would be willing to volunteer my services and help you out with that.
Well, we would be open to accept an application from you, and you can apply online, and we'll give you the web. Go to myspace.com/rapturewrite, and we'll have our application up later on this evening for all of our youth groups. Did we mention, by the way, that we just got funding from the government to open up our own church? We got
a lot of money.
$350,000 to start our new church, and actually just earlier today we were down at the site clearing some brush. And we're going to start construction next weekend. It's a very exciting time for us.
Well, yeah.
If I could quote a verse from Nezariah in regards to this, for it was said by the Lord, you are of many, and many of myself are of you. For it was not one son that is of the earth, but a multitude that I see before me.
Amen.
That's beautiful.
I know. Are you going to get to see this book of Nezariah at all? Or is that just going
to
be...
swim to the bottom of the Great Salt Lake.
It's for unseen eyes right now.
For unseen eyes?
But see, kind of the problem that I have, I'm not sure, do you know who Ken Hovind is?
Ken Hovind?
Yeah, he's a creationist recently.
Yes, yes.
Okay, he claims to have evidence disproving evolution, but he keeps it locked up and won't show it to anybody. So, I kind of have difficulty believing people who say, well, I've got this thing that proves you're wrong, I just won't show it to you. You know, it seems kind of dubious.
But he quoted you a verse from it. How could that not be?
Well,
he just quoted a verse from it.
But
what more do you want from us?
There's more factual talkings that I could go through with you on this.
Factual talkings.
You know, you guys should be. We came on. We specifically came on to your show to release this information. Now, Pastor Rick, he's a high-ranking officer in the Christian Church, and they were not going to release this information. I'm sorry, Kelly. What did you say?
Nothing. I said I love you guys because you're doing an even better job at converting people or deconverting people than we are. So I think you're great.
I don't
great.
See how that's possible. Can you sum that? How's that? Can you break that down for me? How is that possible?
Well, it's
using reverse psychology.
Comments like this on our MySpace profile, January 6th, 2007, 8:03 p.m. You can look it up, myspace.com/rationalresponse. It says, it's getting closer to the rapture. We can't wait to watch you atheists burn when we show you the hardcore factual evidence proving that God does exist. You are all a joke. We will pray for you to burn in hell. January 20th, that's today. Let the fires of hell wash over your tainted flesh. God bless. Stuff like that. I mean, it really turns people off to Christianity, and you guys embody what Christianity really is. And
only filthy bad Christians get turned off by that, but not good, strong-hearted Christians.
Not true Christians.
So I think that's what Kelly is trying to say, that by representing what Christianity is actually supposed to be, rather than the brand of Christianity we see from all of these fakers in society.
It's such an absurd caricature.
99% of Christians out there are, you know, completely are cafeteria Christians. I mean,
Care Bear Christians.
It's the Ken Hovinds, you guys, you know, the Fred Reverend Phelps. Oglethorpes, the Fred Phelps. Yeah.
Oh,
you know,
Reverend Oglethorpe,
Landover Baptist. It's these guys who really put Christianity, you know, where it should be, you know, and what it's supposed to be. And so I think by showing that, you know, what Christianity is actually supposed to be, I think that's Kelly's point, that you guys are actually turning people off to what Christianity's real intent is, you know. And so I mean, we have to thank you guys for that, you know.
I wholeheartedly disagree with you and Kelly and your assertions here about us converting people to atheism. I think if anything, we've already converted Brian Sapien on this show already tonight. So, and this is your leader.
Yeah.
So,
I'll give in if you can answer me a question.
I'm not converted yet.
He is leaning that way though,
because he mentioned God.
So. Yeah. You're leaning over.
Yeah.
I have a question for you though. I'm reading Genesis, and in Genesis chapter 2.
It's a great book.
Yeah, it's a great book.
A lot of contradictions in Genesis.
No, it's no.
How do you reconcile that?
There's no contradictions in Genesis. What are you talking
about? How do we reconcile that? I'll explain
because
that to
it's
you
the
right
wrong.
Now.
It's not the Bible, but yeah.
What is it then?
The Bible that we're not allowed to see.
You guys can read ancient Hebrew too.
Let me talk to you. Let me talk to you a second about
fire tongues. It's called fire tongues, Kelly.
You can read fire tongues.
Kelly's still on?
Yeah,
it's not her bedtime yet.
Let me get to
they're,
this.
They're just about to whip me up the stairs and then chain me to the bed.
Ooh.
Who knows what might happen after that, but that's what happens when it's time for bed.
Okay, so you can hold the camera.
I'm ready for bed.
This is Tim here. The young gentleman who was just asking the question.
Was Rook. Well, I did have a question for you. My name's Rook, by the way.
And he's over.
What's your name? I'm sorry, Rick?
Rook.
Yeah, Rook. He's over 18.
Our pastor's name is Rick.
And he's, no, it's Rook.
Rook. R-O-O-K.
Yeah. Like in the chess game?
Kind of like the chess piece. Yeah, right.
Okay.
Also known as a certain hawk, a certain type of hawk. But yeah, the question here is, what do you think about when God made all these animals for Adam? Adam was trying to find companionship with them. What do you think about that? Like, do you recommend finding companionship with animals? Like, finding
friendship?
A sheep? Like Adam and Eve, for example? You know, I think that'd be interesting. You know, would you recommend that?
I want to answer that question. And Trevor, I know that you want to answer that question because actually Trevor, he runs our youth group farm and he works with all the animals. So he knows a lot about this. And I want to answer that question, but I want to get to something even more important here, Rook. I want to talk to you a little bit about the Bible contradictions, and I want to explain that to your listeners and to yourselves here of why there are contradictions in the Bible. Now, the Bible was written by God, and it was written by God through man. So that was a filter that was done to kind of test man. And, you know, God's not just going to say, yeah, you know, here's life, here's earth, here's the rule book. Now, you know, go have some fun and try to learn something. So to truly test man, to make us earn our entry into heaven, he set up some roadblocks, and one of those is the contradictions in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, really, what a test, right? You know, you live exactly by the word, and even when the word contradicts another word. And by doing this, God ensures that we are going to be able to be tested, our faith will be tested on a daily basis. But that wasn't enough. What he had to do was he had the Satan card also, which he didn't take into consideration, and that only helped to test humans. But in addition to that, Satan and temptation, he also created skeptics, just like you guys.
Mm-hmm.
And he left enough holes open so that you all would make valid points, and they would be valid. And the test is that in the face of your arguments, our faith stays strong, and that we don't falter in our dedication to his existence. So that's really the ultimate test for us as Christians.
That is
the path that every true Christian is on, and that is the path that leads straight to God's heart.
Well, that's great, but how does that answer my question, though?
Well, that answers not only your question, but also several more that you might ask.
I wasn't asking about the contradiction. I was asking if you condone that and if you would go along with that. I mean, from what it sounds
condone
finding companionship in animals like Adam did before Eve was made.
So you're trying to twist words?
Oh, no, here. Not at all.
Friendship with animals is much different than what you are suggesting.
Well, no.
It's interspecies erotica.
I'm asking directly what it says. I mean, I was just curious because it definitely states companionship, not friendship. And
okay, well, don't you think it's more important, Rook, that we just solved your guys' argument about Bible contradictions, and you never ever have to talk about it ever again?
I wasn't asking about contradictions.
Isn't that more important than farm animals, Rook?
Well, I don't know.
You never get to play the contradiction card ever again. I just solved it for you.
But
God put it in there.
And Rook, and the meaning of companionship is a feeling of fellowship or friendship. So it's basically the same thing as friendship. So just to give you a definition there, and our zebra Mary is a beautiful zebra, and but by no means what you're suggesting would we ever do that. I feed her hay and pet her each day.
Heavy petting?
And, whatever, you know, if she whinnies, whatever she likes. We also have a llama and a porcupine family that we keep in a cage.
I wouldn't want to be intimate with a porcupine.
Definitely don't stroke the porcupine.
No, don't do that. No,
no, we just feed them. All
right, guys,
treats.
I'm getting the wrap up sign from the sound booth. Do you guys want to make any closing statements here?
Well, I would like to do. I think the most important thing was that this whole time here, we've been focusing on farm animals and on whether or not females should be allowed to talk on the radio. And we really haven't focused on what we came on the show to do, and that was to prove the existence of God. Now, we talked to you guys about the two undiscovered books that are now discovered.
Right.
The Book of Elevations and the Book of Nezariah.
Right.
And I want to read from a couple of passages from the Book of Nezariah for you guys right now. And
right.
I think this is going to, this will put this whole argument to rest once and for all.
Okay.
That God does exist.
Now, how do we know, though, that you didn't just write these passages on your own and say that there's a book of Nezariah and
well, if you have faith, which you don't have, if you have faith,
right.
then you would trust that these words are the true words of the new scripture.
Right.
And that are now in a submarine at the bottom of the Great Salt Lake.
Well, Tim, could you read these scriptures to them, please?
Yeah, please do. Yes.
I absolutely would. Let me go ahead and read the first one here. This is the proof of God. And it came to pass that never would the people praise him more than in the darkness of sin, for he was the Savior unto the people. And those who opposed him he made unto them to forge forth through doubt, for these people were non-believers created by the Lord to test unto the followers of Christ. And Lebanus hath bore a son who hath chosen the way of the non-Christ, but unto Lebanus his son was loved by the Lord. Nezariah chapter 9, verse 11. I don't see how you can argue with that, you guys. I really don't see how you can argue with that.
Essentially, this new verse is saying is that God created atheists in order to make your faith stronger, to test your faith.
God created skeptics, atheists, to test Christians.
So, am I going to hell for being?
No, you guys can still make it. You guys can still make it. You just have to transition before you die.
But I was created to be an atheist. I would be going against God by.
Yeah, your job's a little tougher. I agree with you. I agree with you. You weren't just born.
It's just your job, though.
Yeah, it's just your job. You were, you know, like anything.
And if I could add to another fact about Nezariah before we leave.
Sure, yes, please.
Have you noticed most of Nezariah, all the quotes from Nezariah are verse 9-11. And the verses which are written within Nezariah are all labeled 9-11, and the scholars that have been studying this believe that this is code due to the heated political climate of the time, the 9 resembling a serpent because of its curvatures, and 11 representing the two poles of Jeriah because he was a snake herder, which represented a...
They haven't caught on that maybe that was the writers of the Bible prophesying the attacks of September 11th?
Thank you very much, Brian.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much.
Yeah,
I didn't have to say it.
You should you know, kind of send that over to your Christian scientists, the faith scientists.
They're in the process of decoding it right now. Yeah. They're in the process.
There's no doubt that Bible code is real.
Mm-hmm.
And that it exists.
All right.
And again, you guys, it's myspace.com/rapture ride. You can check out all our hit songs. Our songs are designed to help save you. You can actually get closer to God through our music. And we're looking forward to speaking with some new converts, Brian, you included.
I'm on a never-ending quest for more knowledge.
You're on the fence.
You're
on the fence, Brian. You're on the fence. You're painting the fence as we speak.
Yeah, I don't think I am, but, you know, I mean, just by merely saying the word God, I don't think that puts me on the fence. But I am on a never-ending quest for more knowledge.
Well, it does.
Just remember always that God made you guys skeptics, so you have a purpose, okay? So you don't have to go home and commit suicide tonight. Kelly?
Oh, yay.
Yeah. In the chess game of life.
Get the best of you.
Huh?
Don't let your hormones get the best of you, okay?
Oh, don't worry. And thanks so much for the song. I can't wait to dance around naked to it next time I'm at work.
You know what? You're welcome. I can't wait to try your cookies. Now go get bacon.
I think we'll end it on that note. Guys, thanks so much for coming on the show.
God bless you guys.
You're welcome. God bless you guys.
Hey, Zeus bless you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks so much, folks. Awesome. You know, hey, they do represent some Christians that are out there, okay? Kelly, you and I have to go have a little private conversation. The audience does not have to be privy to. But yes, we do know. We are hip. If you are hip, wink, wink at you. All right? We do know. If you're not, joke's on you.
It's hip to be square.
So once again, visit evolvefish.com and doubledoe.com. And Kelly, yeah, you got heated there. I hope you don't hate me in 5 minutes when I tell you a little secret.
Oh, yeah, you set it all up, fucking dickhead. Anyway, that's okay, you know, because I am sure that everybody in the webcam room will love watching me kick your ass.
Yo, I will play back the tape.
I'll pay money.
You said
that
was the funniest thing ever.
Yeah,
like, in a long time.
No. Seriously, I'm okay now, but, like, yeah, it when they first said that, because I still hadn't figured out that they were, like, not for real. And I
who said anything about them not being for
real? Shut up. I have never had anybody speak to me like that in my life.
Yeah, so until next time, folks.
Stay rational.
Stay rational. Unless, of course, you listen to the last 30 minutes and you found something meaningful in that. Thanks, Adam Ryan, for calling in, buddy.
Yeah, thanks, buddy.
Yeah, thanks, Adam.